We are looking right now at Ellen Emmett Rand's The Self-Portrait that she created for the National Academy of Design, and a portrait that she did that the Benton owns of Mrs. Mary Potter, who was a local wealthy woman who had her portrait done by Ellen Emmett Rand. I like to think of sort of Ellen Emmett Rand as one of the most important female artist that you have never heard of before, in terms of the fact that if there was anybody in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s who was rich enough and important enough and famous enough to sit for her, they did. Most people at this point in time haven't heard of her. Part of this is because portraits changed so radically in the 60s and 70s, and with abstraction, and also a move to photography, which was happening actually while she was doing these portrait paintings. She really is sort of one of the last of the great portrait painters, tradition that really took hold in the United States in the 18th and 19th century. This is the first major scholarly exhibition of her work. Really exciting. We have pieces here from the National Academy of Design, from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, from Vanderbilt University, from Harvard University, from the Museum of the City of New York. We also have an amazing sort of collection of her images. Also numerous pictures from private collections, and some of which really haven't been seen together, and many of which the Benton owned, but we're also getting to literally see paintings in a way that they have not been seen since they were created, which is really exciting.
Let's take a walk through the exhibit.
Should we take a wander? Okay, sounds great. The exhibition starts off where actually Ellen's career started off, which was being an illustrator for the newly established Vogue magazine. She was a teenager when she started illustration, which is both a sign of her precocious artistic talent, but I think it's also important to note that it is a sign that her family was struggling financially and that she needed to go to work and earn some money. Interestingly, also for a teenage woman illustrator, this is really earlier than we typically see. There's a big sort of increase in female illustrators in the 1910s and 1920s. She's really ahead of that curve. And as you can see here, a lot of the works are of men in the latest fashion and top coats. There's an image of sort of a golf meeting. In many senses, this would actually then prefigure what she became known for, which was as a portrait painter who could paint men very well. And I do think that one of the things that's interesting is the early work with commercial newspapers and magazines, I do think, made her attentive to balancing all kinds of needs and wants when making an image, that sort of her creativity in these images, you know, we can clearly understand that the editor has certain clothes that he wants featured, certain poses, certain people. So she is, early in her career, rooted in a collaborative mode of creating art. One of the other things that we have, and that this is a fantastic and really interesting addition to this exhibition, is we have period clothes throughout the exhibition. And here we have two pieces from two women's dresses from the time that Ellen Emmett Rand would have been working for Vogue magazine. You can see in Ellen Emmett Rand's paintings how much she really uses clothing to define the person, to sort of give us hints about who the person wants to be. And again, I think this ties into her early illustrative work, that clothes really do make the man and woman in her portraits. At the end of the room here, one of her prize-winning images in the studio, which is a really interesting piece. If you just take a quick glance at it, it looks like a picture, a fairly generic painting of a girl, a young girl sitting in a white dress with a cat. But if then you start to look at it carefully, what you realize is that Rand has slyly put a mirror behind the girl, and in that mirror what you see is a reflection of Rand herself doing the portrait, which for those who are familiar with art is clearly a reference to the great La Meninas, which is Velázquez's sort of great portrait piece from the Baroque era. And even at this early moment, we see Rand just being very strategic about positioning herself as both an artist who does fashionable images of young children, but is also then giving us this sort of sly intellectual and artistic nod.
At this point in our tour, in the corner of the Benton's East Gallery, we come upon an empty frame. Just to the right of the frame, there is a newspaper photo of Rand holding her brushes and paint palette, looking at President Franklin D. Roosevelt, with her portrait of FDR behind them. Professor Boylan told the story of the presidential portrait.
Peter Rand went to Hyde Park and asked to see his grandmother's painting, at which point they could not locate it. For a while, the official sort of story seemed to be that it was stolen, although it's a pretty niche market to have ex-presidential portraits stolen, and it would have been the only thing that was taken at that particular moment. More likely is that it was returned from a traveling exhibition. It then stayed in its crate, and then at some point, somebody threw the crate out. The sort of empty frame here serves to talk about the story and to also highlight the most important Rand painting, which we can't show you anymore. In truth, probably the White House wouldn't have loaned it to us, but we can dream. I think it does a job very well of sort of communicating the struggles that she had and how actively and I think aggressively she tried to make a name for herself that would exist historically. But I think this empty frame also signifies how very difficult that, in fact, was for female artists and continues to be.
What do you want people to take away from this exhibition?
First of all, I want people just to look at portraits and to think more seriously about portraits as a complicated art form. As I say in the label, we have to think about a portrait as a competition between the patron's idea of who they are, the artist's idea of who the patron is, and the artist's own identity. And sort of seeing all of these balancing and competing ideas about identity are fascinating. I also think it's really important to think about self-fashioning in this moment when we all have cameras and we take so many selfies and we post things, that in many ways this is an earlier attempt to craft an image. And I think that one of the things particularly that excites me about the Center Gallery is that it is a lot of people who are crafting images and ideas of themselves that are often at odds with who they really were or what was really happening in their lives. The men have often show a kind of authority that they maybe hadn't achieved yet or hoped to achieve or had achieved once but no longer had. And I think that we're also talking about a United States in the 20s and 30s that was going through an enormous period of turmoil, and that gender and race and class were all sort of up for conversation, debate, that power structures around those identities were shifting and changing. So I think that that's the other thing I hope that people can sort of see is also the struggle to be a person, to have an identity, and how very similar that is, I think, to so much of the activity that we all engage in on Facebook and Instagram and all of these new places where we can post our own self-portraits and portraits of ourselves and how we wish we were or want to be.